The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, we had us another interesting weekend of sports. I mean, there were some crazy close games, some, you know, weird results to some of these games. But also, there is just a saying that some of these teams need to learn, and that is just take the points. You know, I get it. Going for it on fourth down, it can be cool, and when you make it, it works out. But when you don't make it, it doesn't work out. And sometimes some of these teams just need to learn how to just take the motherfucking points. If you're in field goal range, easy-ass field goal range, sometimes you just need to take those 3 points rather than go for it on the fourth down. And we had a couple of games like that. Actually, beginning with the first game that we had over in Spain, Madrid, Spain, between the Washington Commanders and the Miami Dolphins. This was a game where it was mostly the Dolphins, but the Commanders did it a couple of times too, where they kept going for it in the red zone, and then they kept going for it on fourth down, and it's just like, just take the points. And I kept saying it, like, the whole time. Like, I felt like Miami wanted to lose this game. They got the win, 16-13, and it did go into overtime. That was the weird thing. It was like the Dolphins, like, it felt like they wanted to win it, but they didn't want to win it. And then the Commanders were like, no, we want to win it. And it was a very odd game, but it was just the whole time I was like, just take the points, y'all. Just take the points. But with that being said, the Dolphins, it actually went into overtime. The Dolphins were able to take it into overtime. They got the win in overtime on this crazy, Marcus Mariota practically had a perfect game except for his final pass of the game, which ended up being an interception in overtime. First play in overtime, he drops back the pass and just throws it right to the Dolphins, sets them right up in beautiful field position. They're able to just kind of, you know, get in a little bit better field position for a short field goal, and they for once just took the points. But it was just a very odd game. Neither team really wanted to win, and that just really showed in this one. Then we had the Cincinnati Bengals at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers played a really solid game in this one, offensively and defensively. Kenneth Gainwell had a huge game through the air, especially 81 yards and 2 touchdowns. Steelers got the win 34-12. Aaron Rodgers suffered an injury. It looks like a wrist injury. Not sure exactly. They're saying there's a possibility he broke a bone, but they haven't announced anything just yet. But it doesn't look like it's going to be anything that takes him out for the rest of the season. It looks like it's something that could be just like a couple of weeks or maybe until like the playoffs roll around. But, you know, the Steelers defensively, they're playing some really, really solid football. It was also announced today that Ja'Marr Chase is going to be suspended the next game because he decided to spit on Jalen Ramsey in this game. And right before I started recording the show, it was announced that he's going to be suspended the next game. So that's going to be costly for the Bengals. I mean, they don't really have a lot to play for. But I got to say, this season still continues to have a lot of parity. And like, just looking at all the top teams in the league, you really can make a case for any team that's like in contention for the playoffs to actually win it all, because there's a weakness on all of these teams. Nobody's really showed out. Nobody's really had like a dominating season. It's pretty much just been very ebb and flow, up and down. One team plays well, another team plays terrible. And so it's just kind of, that's the theme so far. But I mean, as far as Ja'Marr Chase being out for the Bengals, it's like they could potentially be getting Joe Burrow back. And it's like, what if they end up, I don't know who they play next week, but if they end up losing next week, that could just make it so Burrow maybe doesn't come back earlier, or you just never know. But it's definitely not anything you want to see. You'd never want to see, because Ja'Marr Chase is basically, you know, Higgins are having really phenomenal seasons, even though the Bengals are terrible. But now you've taken Ja'Marr Chase out, who's been having a phenomenal year, and now that's probably going to cost them a game. Then a crazy game we had between the Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons. This one went into overtime. It was back and forth. At first, it looked like the Falcons were just going to absolutely dominate this game, and then the Panthers just started to make a comeback in the second half. They just slowly started to trudge their way through it. Then they tied the shit up. It goes into overtime, and they just made the big plays in the fourth quarter in overtime that they needed to. It looked like they were going to fall back, and they just made the big chunk plays, not just like, oh, it's third and eight, let's get 9 yards in this one. No, it was like third and 14, and they're like making like 30-yard plays, and they just really, especially Bryce Young, dude showed out, 31 for 45, 448 yards, which is the most passing yards for a Carolina Panther quarterback ever. And that's with Cam Newton and Jake Delhomme. Those are two dudes who are what I would call Carolina Panthers legends. And Bryce Young is now officially the holder of the highest yards in a game, passing yards in a game, 448. And he also had three touchdowns to boot. I did say this is going to be an offensive game, and I felt like Bijan Robinson was going to be huge for the Falcons. He was. He had 104 yards on the ground and two touchdowns. And then McMillan through the air for the Panthers, he had 130 yards and two touchdowns. But this was just a really, really good game for the Panthers. They just kept it close the whole way, just were able to make the big plays in the second half, but most certainly the fourth quarter and the third in overtime. And they got the win, 30-27. Unfortunately for the Falcons, it looks like Michael Penix Jr. is going to miss the rest of the season. He re-injured his knee that he already missed a game for earlier in the season. He re-injured it in this game, and it looks like he's going to miss the rest of the season. Then the probably one of the best games of the weekend. I know I was enthralled in this game, and that was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Buffalo Bills. This was Josh Allen versus Baker Mayfield. These two guys just going back and forth. I mean, damn. Josh Allen had a total of six touchdowns. He had went 19 for 30, 317 yards in the air, three touchdowns passing, three touchdowns rushing, and just an absolute dominating game from him and the Bills. They did get the win 44-32, but for the most part, this was a battle. It was back and forth. It was one team would get the lead, and the other team would get the lead, but then the Bills actually started to run away with it in the second half. The Buccaneers, things started to get away from them, but it was a crazy game. Really good game from both teams, but the Bills ended up walking away with the big win in this one. Then we had the Houston Texans at the Tennessee Titans. The Texans got the win in this one, 16-13. Davis Mills, he played in this one because C.J. Stroud still out with the concussion. He went 26 for 41, 274 yards and a touchdown. Nico Collins through the air had 92 yards and a touchdown. This was mostly an uneventful game. It was pretty much all defense, which is what I expected it to be. But the Texans got a win that they needed to get, and the Titans just keep on losing. Another crazy game ended up being the Chicago Bears versus the Minnesota Vikings. The Bears are turning out to be the cardiac Bears. Every single game, you do not want to give this team the ball if there's like 2 minutes left in the quarter because they are fully capable of not only getting in field goal range and scoring, but they are just capable of scoring. Just really quick, too. I mean, they're doing it in 17 seconds at this point. This is a crazy-ass team. They actually were dominating this game for the majority of the way, and then the Vikings just got it going in the fourth quarter. But the Bears were able to just magically get the kickoff, run it back, really, and set the offense up a really solid field position. Then they're able to just get in field goal range, get the walk-off field goal, and get another crazy close win, 19-17. Got to say, J.J. McCarthy not looking like the dude, which is weird because under Kevin O'Connell, every quarterback other than McCarthy has pretty much been decent under O'Connell. McCarthy, he looks bad. He just looks really bad. I mean, first of all, his number one receiver is Justin Jefferson, okay? At this point, Justin Jefferson's the type of receiver where if you just toss it up to him, there's a good chance he's making the play. It's like 60-40, Justin Jefferson. You know, it's kind of like we're talking about the Bengals and how much Ja'Marr Chase means to that team. He's still been putting up big numbers. It don't matter who his quarterback is. He's still putting up big numbers. That is not the case with Justin Jefferson this year. He's having a very un-Justin Jefferson-like season. Part of it, I think, is because the rotating quarterbacks. But it's starting to look like he and McCarthy don't have it, whatever it is. But McCarthy is not looking like the dude. Now, obviously, he's only got a couple of games under his belt, realistically. I mean, he didn't even play at all last year. He's missed a good chunk of this year. So he's only got, like, what, four, five games under his belt at this point. So he's got a ways to go. But it's just with Kevin O'Connell, every quarterback, including Carson Wentz, has at least looked decent in this offense. And so far, McCarthy has not looked like the dude in this one. But the Bears' defense was absolutely able to keep them in it in this one. And like I said, you just got to watch out for this Bears team. If they are within kicking range, if they're in 3 points, there's a good shot that even if you just leave them 20 seconds on the clock, that this team could take care of business. And so far, they're doing it. And they lead their division. Who would have thought? With the Packers and the Lions, and then with what the Vikings did last year, who would have thought the Chicago Bears are not only leading their division, but they're doing it handedly right now. Then we had the Green Bay Packers at the New York Giants. This was a weird game. The Packers, they got the win, 27-20. But it was like they did not want this win. They wanted it, and then they were like, no, we don't want it. Let's let them get back in it. But then finally they were like, nah, let's go ahead and win this. Jameis Winston, he got the start because Jackson Dart, he's got a concussion, so he did not play in this one. But Jameis Winston do what Jameis Winston do, and that is throw terrible interceptions. It's really funny to me because for some reason the sports media just loves themselves some Jameis Winston. And I think it's because of his personality. He's very boisterous, and he seems like a very likable guy. But for me, I've always thought he was a very mediocre quarterback. Not college quarterback, he was really good. But his pro, he's had his games, really good games, but he's just a 500 quarterback. He's that dude who's going to throw you 4 touchdowns in one game and then throw 4 interceptions in the next game, and that's what he does. And his interceptions are always, they're usually not those ones where it like bounces off the receiver's hands and you're like, oh shit, that's the receiver's fault. No, they're usually like, why did you throw that pass, dude? And he did it in this game where it was the Giants were driving. They were looking to tie this game up, and he throws an interception in the red zone, and the Packers walk away with the win, 27-20. But I just find it amusing how the sports media just really, really talks up Jameis Winston, and I'm like, this dude is, he's a backup for a reason now, and I see why. I mean, I don't know how they don't see it, but he's just a 500 quarterback. Not saying he's the worst quarterback of all time, but I just think it's weird how the media always gets all hyped up when Jameis Winston is in the game, and I'm like, dude, they lost, and they lost because they am. So there you go. Weird game of the day, very unexpected game of the day, was between the Los Angeles Chargers and the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars stomped the Chargers 35-6. This was so weird to see. And it's like I keep saying about the Chargers. I don't know what I feel about this team. I don't know if they're for real. I don't know if they're shit. It kind of feels like they're a middle-of-the-road team that's going to get some good wins and then do this. Like, what the fuck was that? And now I'm not trying to take any away from the Jaguars because their defense showed out in this one. Offense showed out in this one. They really had a very, very exceptional game. Obviously, they won 35-6, but the Chargers just, ugh, that was horrible. And they're a team that's in playoff contention, and it's like, no, you are not. You are terrible if that's what you're going to put out on the field. Then another really good game we had was between the Seattle Seahawks and the Los Angeles Rams. And the Rams keep proving that they are probably the top team in the NFC, at least right now. You know, I mean, just off the top of my head, I haven't done my power rankings or anything yet. But, you know, looking at the rest of the NFC, this is the most consistent team in the NFC. Offensively, defensively, They've got an excellent quarterback with Matthew Stafford. You've got a number one receiver with Puka Nacua. You've got another number one receiver, veteran number one wide receiver in Davante Adams. Then you've got Kyren Williams in the backfield. You've got this young gun defense that just is taking care of business. And then you also have them just going up against Sam Darnold, and he did exactly what I thought he was going to do. Sam Darnold's very similar to Jameis Winston, where sometimes you're going to get those amazing games where he throws for 4 touchdowns, and then you get games like this where he throws for 4 interceptions, and that's exactly what he did in this one. Now, it was a close one, and the Rams did what the Rams do. My only problem with the Rams is that they're front runners. They get out to that lead in the first half of the game, and then all of a sudden it's like they take a shit at halftime and forget everything that they did in the first half and then just never fucking score again, or they magically score this last second touchdown or field goal to seal the deal. But they always do that, where it's like they scored 14 points in the first quarter in this one and then didn't score again until the fourth quarter. But like I said, they got the win 21-19. The Seahawks were hanging on in this one. They really were hanging on, but those Darnold interceptions were really costing them in this one. And then, of course, they get in field goal range, but it's a 61-yarder. Those are not a gimme at all. Those are a hope and a prayer, and awesome if you make them, but if you don't, then you get the loss. But like I keep saying about the Rams, to me, they're starting to put some distance between themselves, not only in their division, but in the NFC. And you know, right now, I couldn't tell you who I would pick for the Super Bowl from the AFC or the NFC. Like I said, every team you can make an argument for or against to win or lose the Super Bowl and not make it. Like, nobody's really playing consistent football, but the Rams, they kind of are. They're starting to form an identity. And then you also, like I said, they've won a Super Bowl a few years ago. Matthew Stafford is a solid, excellent quarterback, and he's playing out of his mind. He is playing MVP football. And like I said, all his role players are playing well. His defense playing well. They got a great coaching staff. So I don't know. This kind of feels like, to me, a team that might be the front runners for the Super Bowl. But I say might because then next week they lay an egg and then it'll be somebody else who's the front runner. Then we had the San Francisco 49ers at the Arizona Cardinals, and this was all Niners all day. They got the win 41-22. I will say, Jacoby Brissett actually broke an NFL record for the most completions. He completed 47 passes yesterday. He went 47 for 57, 452 yards and 2 touchdowns. So I've always pretty much been a Jacoby Brissett fan. He seems like a very capable quarterback. It just kind of feels like he needs to be put in the right place at the right time. And it feels like Arizona might be the right place at the right time. He obviously has stolen this starting role from Kyler Murray, as he should have. I kind of feel like now Arizona's got to move on from Kyler. You just get rid of that big-ass quarterback, put in Brissett, see how Brissett does. Maybe you'll get lucky and Brissett becomes your dude for the next 3 to 5 years. Or you just have a placeholder in Brissett until you find the next dude after Kyler. But I just kind of feel like the Kyler Murray experiment is over. Brissett has proven he's the dude. I like what he's doing. And I think he's finally in a place where he belongs. But with that being said, the Niners, you know, Brock Purdy came back. He had a solid day. Christian McCaffrey had 81 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. So just a really solid day from the Niners, and really not a good game other than what Brissett was doing in this one. Then we had the Baltimore Ravens at the Cleveland Browns. This went about as expected. The Ravens got the win 23-16. You know, the Browns are very capable of always keeping it close, but then just losing it. Gotta say, though, Miles motherfucking Garrett had 4 sacks in this game. Yeah, that's not a repeat from last week. Last week he had 4 sacks as well, but this week he also had 4 sacks against Lamar Jackson, mind you. One of the most shifty quarterbacks in the league. 4 sacks. As a matter of fact, in the last 3 games, Miles Garrett has had 10 sacks in the last 3 games. Yeah. Yeah, 10 sacks, 3 games. This guy is a beast. He is a monster. And it's so sad to see him waste away on the Cleveland Browns because he's so fucking good. I mean, like, to watch him He can jump over the line. He like just mollywops like 350-pound linemen. Like he just makes it seem like it's the easiest shit in the world. And he plays for the Browns. Like it's always a loss. It's like he has 10 sacks in the last three games and they have three losses. Like that's shitty for him. But the Ravens got the win. They just had a really solid game. Derrick Henry, great game. 103 yards, a touchdown. Zay Flowers had 78 yards. Lamar Jackson, even though he was sacked and had a couple interceptions, very solid day. Basically, the play of the game where it looked like they were going to do a tush push, and instead of doing that, they faked it. Andrews actually ends up taking the handoff and just runs it away for the game-winning touchdown. And the Ravens get the win 23-16. Then we had the Kansas City Chiefs at the Denver Broncos, and this was a battle between two. Just the defense in this game was just nuts. Both defenses were getting at it. And then the second half, Broncos started to get rolling, The Chiefs felt like they wanted to get rolling, but the Broncos were like, I think we're finally legit. And this was a prove-it game for the Broncos. For the Chiefs, it's just another division matchup, and you know, they lose it. It's not the end of the world. They win it. It's not the greatest thing in the world. But for the Broncos, this was a prove-it game. And not only did they get the win 22-19, but they proved it. They pretty much had the lead the majority of the way. The Chiefs were able to get the lead towards the end of the game in the second half for a little bit. And then the Broncos got it back and were able to to tie things up and then get the win in the end. And, you know, Bo Nix, he made some key plays. This is another team where it's like you leave too much time on the clock for them. Just if they get in range and they keep it close, this team is always capable of doing anything. And they held Patrick Mahomes in check. Mahomes made a few Mahomes plays, but for the most part, like, this Chiefs team was very ineffective. They weren't able to get anything going on the ground. Really, no wide receiver had any big plays other than Tyquan Thornton had one big play in the second half. Travis Kelce had one big play, but for the most part, the Broncos defense held the Chiefs offense in check. And then the Broncos offense just kept grinding away and kept grinding away because the Chiefs defense is good. But if you just keep grinding at them and if you just are able to get going with the ground attack, their secondary starts to fall apart. And that's basically exactly what happened in this one. Like I said, Bo Nix made the big play. It was a 3rd-and-15 play, and he throws this dime to get them a first down and set them up in field goal position to get the win, and their 8th straight win, as a matter of fact. So the Broncos are now 9-2 on the season. Bo Nix went 24 for 37, 295 yards, and it was just a really, really, really good game from the Denver Broncos to just absolutely take it from the Chiefs. And, you know, they've had the lead in the division. It's just you have to beat the Chiefs, and they finally beat the Chiefs, and it looks like they're finally going to win this division and take down the Chiefs. But you still cannot count the Chiefs out. I am not counting the Chiefs out. The Chiefs are 5-5, and if the playoffs were to start today, they would not be in it. But I don't care. I have to see what happens. They still have a pretty difficult schedule ahead of them, but they're still the Chiefs, and until they don't make the playoffs, I can't count them out. And even if they do, even if they are the number 7 seed, I am not counting the Chiefs out until this Chiefs team is done. So not counting them out, even though they aren't playing good football. Then our Sunday night football matchup was the Detroit Lions versus the Philadelphia Eagles. And I got to say, if you want to be put to sleep, put on the Philadelphia Eagles. Jesus Christ. This team knows how to win, but fucking A, they know how to put me to sleep. Last Monday's game put me to sleep, and that was the fucking Eagles. And then last night's game, I'm like, Jesus, does anybody want to score even 3 points in this one? It was a snooze fest. Now, the Eagles dominated this one. Their defense had, all you got to do to the Lions is get Jared Goff, treat him like a bobblehead, make him a bobblehead. And then what I mean by that is, like, you just got to get him moving around in the pocket. And once he is thrown off of his course, he's a bobblehead the rest of the game. And that's what the Eagles did in this one. Their defense is just absolutely obliterating everyone. That's why they're so boring, because their defense is just taking care of business, and they're out on the field just taking up time And then you also have their ground attack, which isn't the greatest in the world this season, but it's still good. They take a lot of time off the clock, and it's just the Eagles, they're so goddamn boring, but they still know how to win. They got the win 16-9, and a big win, too. Like I said, they took care of business against Jared Goff. He didn't have the worst game of his life, but, I mean, he was running around, and all they had to do was get at him. It didn't matter what was going on in this game. Every single time the Lions got the ball, the Eagles' defense knew how to just take care of business. They knew how to get at Goff. It didn't even matter if they were able to break off and chunk play for 20 yards. The Eagles' defense always got back at it, and they were able to just get him in, just shake Goff up enough to just send them back to punt or a field goal. And like I said, this was another game where I watched and I'm like, the Lions just had to take the points. In a couple of instances, they went for it on fourth down, and one of them or two of them was in the red zone. And it's like, had they just taken the points, let's see, had they taken three more points, it would be a 16-12 final. Had they taken another 12 points, you know, it would be a tie game. So it's just kind of it would have been a 16-15 game, you know. So, I mean, that kind of could have changed the trajectory in certain instances had they, you know, actually taken the points. But that's not what the Lions do. But I just kind of feel like in some instances, some of these coaches get too big for their britches. And instead of feeling the vibe of the game, which in this game, the Eagles are not a team that are going to blow you out of the water. They're a team that wins 16-9. That's how they do. Last week, what did they win? 10-6? So it's very rare when this team's going to blow you out of the water, 35-14. So the Lions should have just been taking the points, and they could have very well won this game, or at least stuck in it. But every time they came out on offense, Jared Goff was completely ineffective. And I don't know how they didn't grasp that concept, but they weren't grasping it, and it just ended up costing them in this game. And the Eagles just were able to hold on, and that's how the Eagles win. Their defense keeps them in it. Their offense does just enough, and it doesn't matter if it's a pretty win. They just keep on winning, and that's how they won the Super Bowl last year, y'all. So don't act like just because the Eagles can't win 95-0, they're still winning, y'all. 9-2. 9-2, okay? All right, so let's move on to the Monday Night Football matchup. It's Dallas Cowboys at the Las Vegas Raiders. Right now, the Cowboys are a 3.5-point favorite. It kind of feels like it's been forever since the Cowboys have played, because the last time they played was 2 Mondays ago, and then, of course, they had their bye week this last week. And I'm glad they had their bye week when they did, because obviously you should know by now, but their defensive end, Marshawn Neyland, killed himself during the bye week. And, I mean, just for the team's sake, I'm glad they had a bye week, because they probably needed some time to decompress from that. I'm sure a ton of them are still probably feeling something at this point, just because, you know, that's a very jarring thing to happen, whether you were close to the dude or not. He was your teammate and just made the biggest play of the game in the last game as well. So it's like, this is going to be their first game playing without him. So who knows if it's going to be a game where they all feel we got to win this for him, or if some of them are out of sorts and it takes them the minute to get going. But with that being said, even outside of that, I think the Cowboys are just the better team. The Raiders have not been a good team at all on offense, on defense, on special teams. They've just been terrible. Whereas the Cowboys, offensively, there are zero issues. They're great in the passing game. Dak Prescott's playing great. Offensive line's playing great. Got a running game. So they look great on the offensive side of the ball. It's just the defense that's been the problem. But tonight's the first night we get Quinnen Williams. We just traded for him a couple weeks ago, so we'll see how he fits in with this team. Overshown's back tonight, and I am so looking forward to DeMarvion Overshown. Oh my God, he was going off until he obliterated his knee at the end of the season last year. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens, because I think we're getting a different Cowboys defense than we've seen. And so I actually think the Cowboys are not only going to have a really good game tonight, but I think they're actually going to show out. I actually think the offense is going to play flawless, and I think the defense is actually going to show out in the memory of Marshawn and I think they're going to take over, and I think they're actually going to have a really good game tonight, and I think the Cowboys are going to dominate 31-17. Famous last words from the Cowboys fan. Anyways, let's move on to the top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. Man, this basketball season has been fucking phenomenal, man. We are getting amazing basketball from so many players, so many teams. But it's nice to see that now this week, now that we're almost a month into the season, the power rankings actually took some shape. And we have some real legitimate teams to talk about and maybe a couple other teams that'll start falling out, but some real teams that are looking good right now. Beginning with number one remains the Oklahoma City Thunder because they are 13-1 on the season. They are on a 5-game winning streak. This past week, they took down the Golden State Warriors, the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Charlotte Hornets. And they are just, they look better than last year. They don't, I want to say they are picking up where they left off last year. Nah, they look better than last year. SGA averaging 33 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, and 7 assists per game. So he's picking up right where he left off on his MVP type season. They've had injuries. They've had to be dealing with the injuries, but so far they just look amazing in every way, shape, and form so far. Then at number 2 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Detroit Pistons. 11-2 on the season on a 9-game winning streak. This team is here to play. This week they beat Washington, Chicago, and Philadelphia. But, I mean, they are winning on offense, on defense, in the paint, from the threes, from, I mean, they're doing it all. Cade Cunningham averaging 28 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, 10 assists per game. Jalen Duran having an amazing year. His field goal percentage is over 50%, and he is dominating the paint. I believe they're top 3 in the league right now in rebounds. So they are just they're playing old school basketball. This is I'm loving what I'm seeing from the Pistons, and I hate the Detroit Pistons because I'm a Lakers fan. All right, and I hate the Pistons, but what I see from them is just beautiful basketball, and they are just suffocating everybody they play right now. Then at number 3 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Denver Nuggets. Overall record of 10-2. They are on a 7-game winning streak. This past week, they took down the Sacramento Kings, the Los Angeles Clippers, and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Have you heard the name Nikola Jokic? He's averaging a triple-double this season. I know that's really new. I know that's that nobody's ever heard the name Nikola Jokic is averaging a triple-double this season. But so far, he's averaging about 29 points per game, about 13 rebounds per game, about 11 assists per game. Oh, yeah, throwing 2 steals and a 67.2 field goal percentage. As a matter of fact, they lead the league in field goal percentage. Part of the reason why is that 67.2 field goal percentage from Jokic. But I mean, it's not even just Jokic. Jamal Murray is playing excellent basketball. Aaron Gordon's playing excellent basketball. Unfortunately, Brown, he's injured. He's going to be out, I think, the next month or two. So that sucks. But I mean, they are just, Jokic is playing out of his mind right now. It's just how the dude just seems to get better every single year. I don't know how. It feels like he's going to fall off. No, he's not going to fall off this year. He's going to continue to average a triple-double. That's just what Jokic do. We should just, his nickname should just be the triple-double machine. I mean, we all like to call him the Joker because of that last name. It's the triple-double. That's just what it is. He is the triple-double. Nobody is the triple-double but Nikola Jokic. Then at number 4, my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Los Angeles Lakers. Overall record of 10-4. This past week, they beat the Charlotte Hornets, lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and then beat the New Orleans Pelicans and the Milwaukee Bucks. Luka Doncic is another dude who is having a monster season, averaging 34 points per game, 9 rebounds per game, and 9 assists per game. He is having a monster year himself. And LeBron James is supposed to be coming back tomorrow. So get ready. This team's already been playing excellent basketball. And now we're going to be getting some more defense, which is what I'm really looking forward to. Even though Marcus Smart and Ayton, man, those two, they are playing really solid basketball right now. I didn't know what we were going to get from Ayton because he's been pretty overrated the majority of his career. But he's fitting right in and playing some excellent basketball. Marcus Smart is there for the scrappy defensive dude. But LeBron, he's going to bring some more defense to us. And I'm looking forward to seeing what LeBron adds to this already stacked Lakers team. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Houston Rockets, overall record of 9-3. They are currently on a 4-game winning streak. This past week, they took down the Washington Wizards, the Portland Trail Blazers, and the Orlando Magic. Kevin Durant having a flawless year, averaging 26 points per game. And Shangoon also having a great year himself, averaging about 23 points per game, 10 rebounds per game, and 7 assists per game. These two are really just directing traffic. When one is covered, the other one's open. And it the rest of the role players playing excellent. They are, this team's dominating the paint as well. I mean, they were one of the top teams in the paint last year. Once again, one of the top teams in the paint this year. And really just playing excellent basketball. And like I said, watch out for this Houston Rockets team. And they are playing excellent basketball right now. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NBA power rankings at the San Antonio Spurs, overall record of 9-4. This past week, they took down the Chicago Bulls, lost twice to the Golden State Warriors, and then beat the Sacramento Kings. Wemby, man. Victor Wembanyama having a monster season, averaging 26 points per game, 13 rebounds per game, 4 assists per game, and 4 blocks per game, and knocking down 50% of his shots. Unfortunately, he injured his calf, and his gut. They don't know how long, but they said he's going to miss some time. So it looks like he's going to be missing at least the next week or two, which sucks, but he is just having a monster year. It kind of feels like that's the problem, though, with the Spurs, is that they lose a guy to injury, get another guy back. Lose a guy because they just got De'Aaron Fox back. They're getting somebody else back. God, I can't remember. I think it's Castle who they're getting back. So now Wemby's going to be out, so that really sucks because everything has been going through Wemby so far. I mean, he is why they are 9-4, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens in his absence, if they're able to just keep it moving or if they're just going to keep their head above water until he comes back. But he has been having a monster year, and hopefully he's not out for a long time because I think all of us NBA fans are really enjoying what Wemby has been bringing to the table so far. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the New York Knicks, overall record of 8-4. This past week, they took down the Memphis Grizzlies, lost to the Orlando Magic, and then beat the Miami Heat. Unfortunately, OG Anunoby, he got injured this week, and he's going to be out a couple of weeks. They're going to be taking it week by week, it looks like, which sucks because he's a huge force of offense for them. But Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson, they have been money so far, especially Cat, man. He really, you know, Brunson has had his issues with the ankle, but I mean, Cat has just been knocking down the shots and become all reliable so far. They're playing great defensively and just playing really, really solid basketball right now. It's just the injuries, are they going to take a toll on them throughout the season? Then number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Golden State Warriors, overall record of 9-6. This past week, they lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They beat the San Antonio Spurs twice and then also beat the New Orleans Pelicans. And it is Steph motherfucking Curry. You keep thinking these old dudes are going to fall off. And yet, here's Steph Curry dropping down 40 points in some of these games and just completely still taking over games. And this Golden State Warriors team hasn't really found an identity yet beyond Steph. I mean, Jimmy Butler, he's having a good year, but he's not having a Jimmy Butler type year. There's still kind of issues between Kuminga and the rest of the team. Green is getting up there, so it's just pretty much been Steph. Steph has been Mr. Consistent. He's averaging 27 points per game right now, so he's been that dude. So as long as they keep riding with Steph, I kind of think the Golden State Warriors are good. But then again, he gets injured, and we'll see what happens. But at the same time, Jimmy Butler, he hasn't really started getting into his flow yet. So maybe once he gets going, the Golden State Warriors will find more of an identity. But right now, it's been all Steph all season. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team I'm kind of shocked we're talking about, but here we are. The Atlanta Hawks, overall record of 9-5. They are currently on a 5-game winning streak. This past week, they took down the Clippers, the Sacramento Kings, the Utah Jazz, and the Phoenix Suns. And it's just been all about Jalen Johnson. Couldn't tell you who the fuck he is, but he is leading them in points. He's leading them in assists. He's leading them in rebounds. He's leading them in just about every single category on this team. That's it. They don't really have anybody else showing out. That's why I'm like, I don't know how I feel about the Hawks team, but they are in a 5-game winning streak. They do have a solid record right now, so I felt like we kind of had to talk about them. I don't know how much longer this is going to linger. You know, Trae Young, he's been out a couple of weeks now, or at least a week. So he's been out, but it doesn't matter. This team's been playing well, and I kind of feel like I felt this way since last year that the Hawks need to move on from Trae Young and just see what they can get out of him. And I feel like if they're playing this decent without him, you might as well just go ahead and see what you could get for Trae Young. Maybe you could get a solid piece who could help you out this year, plus a draft pick that can help you out in the future. So I don't know what the Hawks are doing, but I kind of feel like that's the route they may want to go because they seem to play better when Trae Young is out. To me, that what that says, because Trae Young is an excellent, he's an excellent talent. He's an excellent point guard. It's not anything against him. I just feel like he doesn't want to be there. And he's playing well when he's on the court, but I just kind of feel like the team works better without him. And so I just feel like you might as well just pull the plug now and just trade him away and see what you can get. Then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings this week, I have the Cleveland Cavaliers. Overall record of 9-5. This past week, they lost to the Miami Heat, then beat the Miami Heat, then lost to the Toronto Raptors, and then beat the Memphis Grizzlies. Donovan Mitchell having another monster year, averaging about 30 points per game. Lonzo Ball really fitting in. You didn't know what we were getting from this dude because, you know, he was coming off of the, like, 3-4 knee surgeries at this point. And, you know, he missed a couple of full-length seasons, so you didn't know what we were getting from him. And so far, he seems to be really fitting in with this Cleveland Cavaliers team. Evan Mobley having a really solid year himself, especially in the paint. And Jarrett Allen, he's having a solid year. This Cleveland Cavaliers team looks very legit. And, you know, they still got to get Garland back in there working the way he was before his injury. And, you know, I feel like this Cleveland Cavaliers team, they're right where they want to be. They probably weren't expecting this heat from the Detroit Pistons that they're getting, but I think that's a good thing for them because then that's a good measuring stick for them in the Eastern Conference because you don't really have a lot of reliable teams other than the Pistons, the Cavaliers, and the Knicks right now. Everybody else in the Eastern Conference is pretty meh, whereas the West is just stacked on stacked on stacked. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.